And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
We got to go through that part.
You got okay. to. And I love the way you wave your hand to the music.
I was meant to be a conductor.
Well, you'll conduct here. Anyway, are we on? Hey, Paul, what's going on? All right, we are on.
And what are we on?
We are on CRN Talk.
And what's the name of the show?
The name of the show is The View from Over Here.
And who are you?
I am Stan Weisleder, and who are you?
Malcolm Barry Berman.
Okay, here we go for another day of mirth and merriment.
Mirth and merriment, okay.
Whatever that means, I have no idea. Anyway, let's do some news for today. Did you know that the times, they are a-changing?
I remember that from Bob Dylan.
Yes, well, this past Friday, approximately 2,500 so-called patients, not having patience, but patients with a T. Anyway, they packed into the Marijuana Medicinal Fair, which is the California Heritage Market, where it opened its doors in Boyle Heights, the first of such markets in all of L.A. County. By next year, they'll have outlets in Ralph's, Vaughn's, and Gelson's.
Did I tell you about my back pains?
Tell them. You have to be a legitimate user for medicinal purposes, and you could get in there, check out the product, buy whatever you want, and so forth. How about that? It's amazing.
Well, I remember when I was, well, a teenager.
Well, anyway, let's not tally and dally with that.
Oh, okay. Go right. on.
TSA, everybody's enemy. They're all bleeped up as usual. Now they're saying inactive cell phones and laptops that don't turn on, you know, you can't have them on a plane. As far as the way I look at it, the trouble with the TSA is that they never act. They only react. What they really need is to establish a think tank whose sole responsibility is to get into the heads of the potential terrorists, and maybe they will be able to figure out the best ways and means on how to get bombs or bomb parts and weapons or whatever is needed on public transportation so as to create panic. I can do that very easily. If I were a terrorist, I would be their worst enemy. They don't even have to kill anyone or take down the New World Trade Center. All they have to do is create terror, which turns into panic. If they can do this, they will be able to take on the terrorists. That is the think tank, if they can do that.
You see, well, if I was a terrorist, what I would do would be watching Hollywood movies or television, because they come up with all these fantastic ideas of how to bring bombs on planes, terrorize the world.
About 2 years ago, I had a conversation with the real Israeli Mossad agent that was played by Eric Bana in the movie Munich. And we were discussing on how to get weapons onto airplanes. And it is such an easy thing to do. We're not going to tell you how, but it's a snap. All right, but I don't want to talk about too much there because then it might be considered politics, and we're not supposed to talk about politics.
And when are you flying to New York?
not yet. Hey, today I looked down at my home-delivered copy of the Wall Street Journal, and I could not help but notice the front page. It was a replica of their very first issue that was published exactly 100 years ago today on July 8th, 1989. It was number one of volume one. And I read through it, the first page, and I learned that from the Dow Jones average, the only company that was there then that is still in it today is General Electric.
What year was that?
1989, the first issue, July 8th, 125 years ago.
1989?
Yeah.
I think
before we were born.
How about 18? You had 19.
1889.
You said 1989.
Oh, that was a bleep up that I did.
Wake up, Stan.
1889.
Okay. That sounds much better.
I don't usually bleep up like that, but that was definitely a bleep up.
You have to fire.
Out of respect to Paul in behind the engineer's thing.
Fire the typist.
I bleeped up. Okay. Hey, before I forget, I want to invite Hillary Clinton to be a guest on the show. Okay, this way she could speak her mind on whatever subjects she desires.
Paul, can you call Hillary now? I think you have the number.
Give her a call.
And tell her she's invited. We'll even take a telephone call from her.
Yeah, even on a cell phone. Okay, that's the news for today, whatever, you know, whatever strikes
your fancy.
Whatever.
Anyway, we have our guest ready. Who is she?
All right, we have a guest on today. She is an up-and-coming actress trying to work her way up the entertainment ladder by doing modeling, guest gigs, whatever, and getting small parts and slowly, you know, getting her foot, well, starting with the toe, then the foot, and then the whole body through the door as she can show what she can do and so forth. Her name is Dominique Monroe. No relation to the other Monroe, and what there was another Monroe way back. He had the Monroe Doctrine.
I think so.
That was way back, as I remember.
Before 1889.
Yeah,
James Monroe.
Dominique, are you with us?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm fine. Malcolm is fine. I'm speaking for him. But listen, I have to ask you a question. I know you are working at it, and in your business, I've heard it said that there are maybe 1,000 or more jobs out there for every person, and not 1,000 jobs, just the reverse. For every person looking for a job, there are maybe 1,000 applicants. Okay.
Yes.
And all of the applicants are qualified, then you all have to bang your head against each other and somehow show that you could do what the other one can't and so forth. Is that true? How do you find it, you know, knocking your head against the door or against the wall in getting parts?
It definitely is true, especially out here in Los Angeles. There's so many actors, so many models out here trying to get the same gig as you, but you just got to step aside and show them that you are fit for the part. I mean, I just be myself. I don't really it's hard. It's definitely hard, but you have to be determined.
Do you go on a lot of auditions or readings?
I don't really go on a lot of auditions because I usually submit my picture and they usually go based off my picture on some of the auditions that I go on. And it's about connections as well.
This
whole thing is about connections.
Yeah. Do you have an agent?
I do a lot of things by myself, freelance.
Do you think it would be helpful if you had an agent?
That gets me a lot of things. Excuse me?
Do you think it would be helpful if you had an agent?
Well, I've had agents previously, and I tend to get more work on my own than working with an agent.
Yeah. How long have you been in Los Angeles trying to get work?
I've been in L.A. since 2009.
Okay, so about 5 years.
Yes. Yep, about 5 years. September would be 5 years.
So do you feel things are getting better? Are you getting more opportunities, or is it still?
I think had I been more pushed to do it by myself, I would have gotten a little bit further than where I am today, but of course there's obstacles I'm coming over. I'm a mom of three, so I have to take care of them. So I haven't been going at it full force, but for what I have done, I think I'm doing pretty good.
Have you taken acting classes?
I have. I've went to college, actually, and taken some courses there.
Because that's where you make your connections.
Yeah, because my teacher, she's actually she was an actress, so
What school did you go to?
I went to the Moorpark College out here in Moorpark.
Are you a native Angeleno or?
What?
Are you a native Angeleno? Are you from this part of the world or?
I'm from Chicago. That's where I'm from.
Okay, big city girl.
Midwest.
Is there any advice that you would give to somebody starting out in the field?
yeah, just don't let other people knock you down. Don't get discouraged, because you can get discouraged very easily out here. It's a dog-eat-dog world, and you just got to go for what you think is yours. And everybody, you can make it as long as you're determined.
Yeah,
so
well,
you
the
can
thing...
Make, so you can, if you stick to it and you don't quit, you don't give up, you can make it. That's what you're saying.
You gotta stick to it. You gotta dream big and go big.
Well, you have to have the confidence in your own ability, because
because
nine out of ten times you're going to go for an audition that they say, well, you're not the right type. You're too short. You're too tall. Your eyes aren't blue. We're looking for someone 15, and you look like you're 16. And I mean, all sorts of reasons.
But you have to go after everything. You don't know what you're going to get unless you go after. You're going to hear a lot of no's before you hear it. Yes. So that's how you got to look at it. And you might not be the right fit for this job, but going to this job, you could be the right fit for our next job. So that's how you got to think. Audition is an opportunity.
A lot of successful projects have received no's, maybe a dozen or more times. But the one who had the idea waited and pushed and waited and pushed, and it finally happened.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, well, a classic story like that is Sylvester Stallone. He wrote the script for Rocky, and he'd been pushing it for, I think, like 10 years.
Something like that.
Wow. And they wanted to buy the script but have another actor. And he said, no, if you're going to buy the script, I'm going to play the part of Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
And look what happened to him.
Now he's Sylvester Stallone. Yep.
All right, Dominique, you're going to have to write about a female Rocky.
I'm not a writer.
So I had to ask this. What do you do to earn a living right now? Because I know it's kind of sparse, being an actress.
Right now, I'm a licensed cosmetologist, and I do makeup and hair for different people on sets and stuff like that. And then I work, I'm a manager at Macy's. So, retail is what I do to make my ends meet.
Yeah,
a lot of freelance work, and then my gigs too. So I'm not just working here in LA. I travel to Chicago, I travel to Atlanta and Florida. So it works right now.
Have you tried? Have you gone out for any commercials?
You know what? That's one thing I haven't done. I've done a few commercials on YouTube. They have when the commercials come on YouTube. I've done a Clorox commercial. But I need to get into that, because I know I have a commercial look as well. So
yeah, you may need an agent to get the commercials.
You do, and actually I am shopping around for a new agent, because some of the things that I'm booking I could get further. I do know that, but I'm a little stubborn.
No. Well, my advice is that, from experience, is that it's fine to have an agent, and you should have one, but generally the agents book the path of least resistance. So if they have famous people, they're going to be pushing them, and the people that aren't as famous, they're going to sort of leave in the background. So even though you have an agent, you have to push yourself.
Yeah, and even one-liners.
That's so true.
Yeah, listen, Dominique, we're glad to have you on, and when you get your first break, your first part, no matter how small it is, even if it is a one-liner, we want you to give us a call, let us know, and we'll have you come back on and tell everyone what it was like.
Well, I've actually done I've actually appeared in a movie that was in theaters that came out in January.
Which one is
it was called Black Coffee, No Sugar, No Cream.
Ah. But I insist you have to come in. I mean, you sound lovely, and we want to see you sitting in the studio next to us. But anyway,
definitely. I definitely love to come in.
Well, thank you very much. We have to come up to a break, and good luck.
Thank you for having me.
Okay.
Good. And next time we want you here in the studio. You can't be too far away.
You're listening to The View from Over Here on CRN Digital Talk Radio, and we'll be right back. Go.
Where do you want me
to
go? I'm here. Hey, all you people out there, this is Stan Weisleder again with Malcolm Berman in the studio. We are broadcasting on CRN Talk, And the name of the program is The View From Over Here. And now we're going to have The View From The Pew. And that is by Rabbi Jerry Cutler.
Jerry, are you there?
I'm here, my darling.
Well, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back. I had to take some time off, and I'm okay.
Well, we forgive you, but
you.
Don't let it happen again.
Hopefully not.
And do we have the beautiful Jeff with you today, or?
Jeff is, busy on the phone. We just moved into a new apartment, as you know, so we're trying to clean everything up from our past, our present, and work to the future.
Very good. And what movies do we have today?
Well, I saw Begin Again and Tammy.
Okay, let us know.
Yeah, Tammy looks like a winner from the trailers.
Let me talk about Begin Again first. Tammy, okay. I'll get to. There's more to talk about. But Begin Again was written and directed by this John Carney, who did Once. And if you guys remember Once, it was a wonderful film. It was a nice musical endeavor with two street musicians that... It was just beautifully done. He wrote Begin Again, which is it's a copy of Once, really, but not as good. The music is there, the performers, the dialogue, the direction, but it really missed the simplicity and innocence of his first endeavor, which was Once. He had a high-end cast with Keira Knightley, Mark Ruffalo, Adam Levine, Catherine Keener, Haley Steinfeld, CeeLo Green, and they're all good, except maybe Adam Levine was out of his league. He's a wonderful guy, I assume. The plus side about Adam Levine, aside from the fact he can't act, that's the downside. Plus side is he wears long sleeves covering up his overladen garish tattoos, which I hate tattoos, but he takes advantage. He has... like the entire Bible graphically on his right arm.
Well, he's religious.
Yeah, very. And Knightley, God bless her, she's mesmerizing. She has a wonderful singing voice. To see just for her singing is worth it. There are no gratuitous sex scenes, vomiting, or groin jokes, so that's all on the plus side.
How would you rate it?
2.5 bagels.
With cream cheese?
No, just with a schmear. You can put on whatever you want.
2.5 out of 5?
And 2.5 out of 5.
Out of 5.
Four.
Okay.
What do I do? 5.
I don't know what
four,
you do.
Four.
Four, okay.
I've been away a while. I can't remember. It's just enjoyable to watch, guys, but in the end, it's not that satisfying. He did a good job. The music is lovely. But he's done Once, and once again in Begin Again. He can begin again in earnest, this time come up with a more compelling and creative story. Mm-hmm. I hope he does. Tammy!
Yes.
Remember when Debbie Reynolds starred in Tammy?
Yeah, who could forget that?
The cottonwoods whispering above Tammy.
Okay, that's enough, Jerry.
Yeah,
get to the movie.
It was too much, as a matter of fact. Melissa McCarthy. It has none of the humor, sweetness, and innocence of Miss Reynolds' version, nor there's not supposed to be any correlation anyway. What Ms. McCarthy and her husband, Ben Falcone, directed this and co-wrote it with her. What they have accomplished is really to besmirch the name Tammy. There ought to be a law. If that were the only offense, it would have passed as a misstep by arguably, and I think you'll agree, one of the funniest and most bawdy women on the planet. And what we have here is a failure to communicate, to borrow from another film, what funny should be. The casting of Susan Sarandon, Allison Janney, Dan Aykroyd, Kathy Bates, Sandra Oh, and Toni Collette was most certainly an inspired choice, but it failed terribly. For starters, Susan Sarandon, she's still beautiful and sensual. You have to accept the fact that she plays Melissa McCarthy's grandmother.
Isn't she an alcoholic grandmother?
Yes, but she's lovely and she's funny.
Jerry, look, I hate to be, but I got to be. We got the station break coming up. How many bagels do we have here?
I only give it 1 out of 4.
Wow. 1 out of 4.
Woo.
And you know what I say to that? Oy vey.
Oy vey, yeah. I've heard that before.
Anyway, Jerry, thank you very much. But if you can, you know, send a copy of it and we'll
I'm
have it posted.
Send both copies, yes.
Okay, send my love to Jeff and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, my darling. Okay. Take care.
Bye. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. I know the music.
I was listening to the music. I was entranced.
And who was singing the music?
Well, one of my favorites for years now, Julie Budd. You know, I remember her from years ago, and I just, whenever I hear her sing, I just get, you know, I'm sent into another world. I get choked up when I hear her sing.
Would you like to speak to her?
Would I? Can I?
She's on the line now.
Wow. Julie, are you there?
Hi, fellas. How are you?
Oh, wow. We are so glad to have you on. And when I say that I've been a fan of yours for years, believe me, that is no BS. Really.
Well, not that many years. This is Malcolm, Julie. Malcolm Berman. You're too young for going back years. I know that.
Well, I'm not going to say her age. It's all here in Google. But I have, and wait a minute, this is a kid who started out when she was 12 years old. Can you believe that? How did you get discovered at 12 years old?
Well, I was up in the Catskill Mountains, and I was going to day camp. And
wait a minute, you got discovered in day camp?
Well, I cut camp. See, I was a renegade. I cut camp, and I found out there was a talent show, and I joined the show. And there was a guy by the name of Vic Minow. He was the artistic director and the athletic director. You know how they always did everything.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw that movie.
Exactly. I lived the movie. And he introduced me to a man that I still work with. He's my musical director, Herb Bernstein. And that was when I was 12 years old.
Wow, that is amazing. You know, that's like that story that was really made up. Because we spoke to one of the people who lived it, where Lana Turner was supposedly sipping an ice cream soda at Schwab's drugstore
right.
in Hollywood and got discovered. That was made up, okay, and they went along with the story.
Mine is real.
Yours is real.
That is amazing. And then you went on to sing with all of the top performers of the day. You toured Vegas, all over the country.
You know, I was very lucky. I came around at a time when all that was possible. You know, you think about it right now. That wouldn't happen for somebody now. That kind of performer doesn't exist, really.
Well, now, if you don't sing rap or crap, as I refer to it, no one will even look at you.
Well, it's really a shame because, you know, when you watch The American Idol and on a lot of those shows, and I think that they're fun and it's great and it's something that... you know, kids can aspire to want to do. The only thing that I find difficult, you know, with all of that is that it's only one genre of music. And so kids are sort of limited in thinking, well, you know, that's the only way to go about it. You know, there's the American Songbook is sort of non-existent in these genres. And,
yeah,
it,
you're
you
right.
Know, for those shows.
Well, actually it is, except it's not earning as much money.
That's because they don't put it out there.
No, I have two boys, 18 and 19, and they listen to all, you know, when I'm in the car, I can't listen to the radio. They have to wear their headsets.
I'll give you a better example. My youngest daughter, Jill, who is terrific, a great kid. She's a photographer with the Dodgers, has been with them for like 18 years. She thinks that Frank Sinatra, okay, is classical music.
But you know what? In a way, right now, he is. It's American classic.
American
music.
Classic.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but she didn't mean
they don't
it
know
that
the
way. She
of
meant
course.
Like what we think, what was written by...
like Domingo or Pavarotti.
Yeah,
or
Beethoven.
You know, Brahms, Bach, and Beethoven.
So yes, now, bring us up to the present. What are you doing nowadays? We know you're from the Catskills. Let's skip a few years and get you on stage today.
Well, from there, you know, I did a lot of television, and then I, as you noted, I went on the road with a lot of, you know, really wonderful artists, and it taught me how to work.
Well, drop some names. Who have you worked with?
I worked with Liberace, Frank Sinatra, Joan Rivers, Bob Hope, Jimmy Durante. I worked with Bill Cosby. I worked with Danny Thomas. Danny was responsible for St. Jude Hospital.
Yes.
Right. And I worked with Danny to raise a lot of money for St. Jude Hospital. What a wonderful man he was. And they're just a great family. His daughter carries on his legacy.
Yeah, I just read Marlowe's book. It's something, and I forget the name of it, but she wrote a book about growing up in the household in Beverly Hills.
Well, yeah. I have a question for you, Julie. You've intermingled with all of those famous people. Are there any spicy stories that you would like to share with us?
Well, I'll tell you. I'm in the middle, actually, of writing a book. I've been writing the book for quite some time now. I do a little bit. I put it down. I go back to it. The kind of book that I'm writing is not really a tell-all, but it's kind of an homage to the greatest performers in show business.
But you have to tell something.
Well, you got to buy the book.
Hey, I'm only kidding.
my first question is, and again, don't answer it, but my mind works like that, is who have you had an affair with? That's it. Don't answer.
Who have I had an affair with?
Right. I mean, on the road, I know a lot of people who are on the road, and, you know, there are a lot of lonely nights.
I'll tell you, when I started dating as a kid and up to the present, of course, it's interesting that you should mention that because you said take us up to the present. I never went out with people. I mean, not really. The people that I went out with were never in show business. And even my best friends, you know, I was just talking to somebody about this actually. But even the people that are like my best friends were never in show business. And I thought about it and I thought, well, why is that? And I think because when you're raised in this, and when you've been in it for 40 years or more, you don't want your whole life to be show business, show business. You know, you realize that some of the reasons why a lot of these people didn't make it in their private life was that they made show business everything. They didn't have anything else but show business. And if it wasn't happening in show business, then their life wasn't happening altogether.
Yeah, that's true. Julie,
you know what
where
I mean?
Are you from?
I'm from Brooklyn.
Where in Brooklyn?
I lived in two places. I lived in East Flatbush on 54th and Avenue K, kind of the Canarsie Mill Basin sort of
right,
area
yeah.
there. And then I lived with my grandparents in Borough Park. I lived at, I remember the address, it was 36 Day Hill Road.
Wow.
Well, I'm a Coney Island kid, and...
I'm from Brownsville.
Oh, you're from Brownsville.
Yeah, was the classy neighborhood.
You're living in, you were living in areas that are very hot now.
I went back a few years ago to see what it was like, and I told my kids, don't you dare roll down the window or open the door.
But now, you know, they're buying up all of those blocks now. And,
so wait a minute. So you're saying I should have now a summer home on Pitkin Avenue?
It might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Where
are you living now?
Now I live in Manhattan. Actually, I was living in Manhattan in my late teens. I moved into Manhattan because rather than going to Tilden or South Shore, which were the two schools that they were thinking of my going to because of my district, because I started traveling so much, I was on the road a lot. I mean, I had a contract with CBS, and I was traveling all over. So I wound up going to a school in Manhattan, which doesn't even exist anymore, but it was called Lincoln Square Academy, and it was on 66th Street, right across the street from Juilliard and Lincoln Center.
You didn't go to Juilliard then?
No, I didn't go to Juilliard. I was in high school, and I was finishing up in high school, so they sent me to Lincoln Square Academy.
You know what I noticed listening to you? You've sort of, not completely, but pretty much have gotten rid of your Brooklyn accent. Years ago, it was much more pronounced.
I think you're probably right. I guess it's from traveling and living in Manhattan.
Yeah, you living know, with normal people.
You know, it's like people that go to live in England, they start to sound quite British, you know. They start taking on that. But you were saying, what are you doing now?
Right.
So what I'm doing now is I do a lot of performing arts centers, a lot of symphonies, and I also do master classes all over the country, and I work with people on singing. And I've taken on a few private students in New York, but as far as my performing goes, I do a lot of theaters and performing arts centers. The performing arts centers all over the country have been just wonderful, wonderful places.
When will you be back in the L.A. area?
Well, it's funny. I was in the L.A. area last season for the gay and lesbian community. I worked at the Remberg Theater. Do you know the Remberg Theater?
Remberg. Where is that?
That's right downtown Los Angeles, the Remberg Theater.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, we don't go there.
Okay, it's a wonderful theater. Then I was at the Smith Center in Las Vegas, and then I came back to New York, and I work a wonderful place in New York called the Metropolitan Room, which I perform here quite often.
Yeah, we've heard of that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I just finished at the Surflight Theater, and I did a wonderful show called Some Enchanted Evening, and now I'm on my way to Dix Hills Performing Arts Center. And I'm bringing my show.
Yeah. Speak to your agent. I'd love to see you get booked at the Hollywood Bowl. I was here the other night. That would be a perfect venue for
you. Well, that would be wonderful because then I could work with the symphony.
Yeah, I mean, that would be beautiful for your type of music with the stars
the
in the background. And it's a beautiful venue.
Yeah.
Have you ever worked it?
You know, I did a film years and years and years ago called The Devil and Max Devlin with Bill Cosby and Elliot Gould. And we had three venues. We worked the Troubadour. We worked for some of the shots. We worked at the Hollywood Bowl. And then we worked at the Wilshire E. Bill Theater. We did a lot of shooting at the Wilshire E. Bill Theater.
So do you like working in large auditoriums, or you prefer more like nightclub settings?
I really like large auditoriums. I feel it really suits me. Although I do play both, but I do love the large venues. It allows me to stretch out, you know.
Julie, I have a question for you.
What I do, yeah.
You made it, you had a very, very lucky break. Unbelievable to get discovered at 12 years old, just bingo, and make it overnight practically. But there are a lot of singers out there that have talent and some think they have talent and they struggle and struggle. What would you suggest or what would you recommend for somebody trying to follow in your footsteps?
Well, as you said, I was lucky because there were many TV shows and variety shows, and a lot of the venues were out there. There are a lot of showcase rooms around the country. There are a lot of cabaret rooms, and it also depends on the kind of music that the performer is interested in pursuing. So that changes a lot of the advice that you give them. But even with that, there are a lot of showcase rooms all over the country, and there are a lot of colleges around the country that do regional musical performance showcase evenings as well. If I were a performer that was beginning right now, I wouldn't care about how much they pay me. I wouldn't care about how famous I could become. I would just every opportunity that I would get to work, I would work. Because, you know, talent is great, and of course, you must develop your talent, so you need to develop skills. But one of the things that make you a true professional, believe it or not, it's a very simple word. It's called repetition. Repetition is what makes you great. You need a place to perform all the time. So you have to find those showcase places that allow young performers to get up there and work.
All right, Julian, we have a break coming up. Don't go away.
Right,
we're not through with you yet.
Right. Speaking of repetition, what we have to repeat is some of the commercials so we could pay for this airtime. So, Julie, we'll be right back with you. You're listening to The View from Over Here on crntalk.com. And you can reach us also on www.viewfromoverhere.com. Remember, know the viewfromoverhere.com. And stay tuned, and we'll be right back with the marvelous, beautiful Julie Budd. Take it away, Stan.
Okay, we're back again. I'm in the studio, Stan Weisleder, with Malcolm Berman on The View from Over Here, broadcast all over the entire planet and beyond, because it's digital, on CRN Talk. Our guest right now is the famous, lovely, very talented Julie Budd. Julie, have a couple of questions I want to throw at you before our time is up.
Sure.
Who are your if you have any favorite performers today? Okay, that's one question. What are your favorite songs? That may be hard because if you leave somebody out, they'll be insulted. And who are your favorite up and coming artists?
Oh, my goodness.
It's a three-part question. We probably don't have enough time to cover it.
But you only
all.
Have 2 minutes, though.
Well, my all-time favorite, and I know she's not around today, has always been Ella Fitzgerald.
Okay.
Who do I love today? I think Justin Timberlake is terrific.
Okay.
I think he's wonderful.
His singing or his total persona?
I love everything about him. I think he's a really finely tuned instrument.
The word I have for him, he's a mensch.
He's a mensch, and he's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's kept his eye on the ball. He stays out of trouble, and he works on his craft, and it really shows.
And he's smart, because I think he's going with Jennifer Beal.
I think they got married. God bless.
They got married.
And what was the second question?
What are your favorite songs of all time?
Well, some of my favorite songs are the ones I just recorded on. They Wrote the Songs, my
okay.
new CD.
Right, before we forget, what is your new CD and how can our audience find it?
My new CD is called They Wrote the Songs, and it's the songs of our generation, but the classical side of our generation, as your daughter would put it, the classic side, if you will. The Beatles, Anthony Newley, Charles Smalls, who wrote the songs from The Wiz, Paul Anka, who wrote, along with Sammy Kahn, Let Me Try Again. For Frank Sinatra, I think I'm one of the few women that have ever covered that song. Ann Hampton Callaway, who wrote the song Perfect. Just some really, really wonderful writers. Steve Dorff.
And how can our audience get that CD?
They could go on Amazon, CD Baby. They could go to Barnes & Noble. They can go to iTunes. I'm all over the place.
You're all over the place.
That's where I'm going, Malcolm, because, you know, I played the snippets, you know, little pieces from each of her songs, and I'm going to buy it because I want to be able to play it in my car whenever.
We have a very different rendition of Love Me Do by the Beatles. So I hope you'll enjoy it. I really do.
Well, Julie, thank you very much for being with us. And hopefully, if you ever get to Los Angeles, please drop in the studio because we'd love to have you here in person.
Thank you, you guys. I want to thank you so much.
Hey, and anytime you want to come on, whether you're in New York or L.A., You just give us a call. All we need is about 2 weeks' notice.
Okay. Thank you
again. Sending you a big hug, fellas.
Okay. Thanks again, Julie. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to The View from over here on crntalk.com, and that's it for the week. We're going to be off, but we still have 30 seconds. Anything final?
30 seconds. Yeah. I could have asked her 49 more questions.
Yeah, I know, and you usually do in 30 seconds. Stay tuned. You can reach our show on www.viewfromoverhere.com, any of the back shows or this show, and have a great week, and we'll see you next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
The View from Over Here is a co-production of Infinity X and TBG International. For further information, contact Malcolm Berman at 818-687-2784. That's 818-687-2784.